I'm Dale Postel with D&B Ranch in Lampasas, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
A lot of ranchers have suffered significant losses. But what impact is the Texas Panhandle wildfires having on beef production overall? I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
The state's largest farm organization is hoping Congress takes action to address the farm labor shortage. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
A startup bioplastics company is using agricultural byproducts as feedstocks for its bioplastics products. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll introduce you to the CEO and co-founder of the company on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Lawmakers from Texas are looking at programs that may be able to help those impacted by the 1 million plus acre wildfires in the Texas Panhandle. Senator Ted Cruz says the fires didn't cause enough damage to trigger FEMA disaster relief.
There are different programs, both within the U.S. Department of Agriculture dealing for the loss of livestock that we're looking at and trying to see how that can apply to farmers and ranchers that have had losses. One of the challenges is the way that the federal FEMA program works and disaster relief works is there is a damage threshold that is quite high. And right now it appears likely that the threshold is not going to be met, and it's a dollar amount. When you have a natural disaster that doesn't hit that dollar amount, typically the disaster relief is principally handled at the state level. And so my team is working with state officials, working with local officials.
The senator who visited Fritch last week says one of the things that consistently is the case here in Texas is that without fail, Texans come together to help each other. That can be seen as many trucks full of donated hay, cubes, fencing materials, and other vital items are delivered into fire-affected areas.
It is inspiring to see how Texans come together in the wake of a disaster, and we'll need to keep coming together for an extended period of time as we defeat this fire and then begin the process of rebuilding.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Texas farmers have just a few more days to enroll, revise elections, and sign contracts for Farm Bill safety net coverage for the 2024 crop year.
Thanks to a one-year extension, farmers have until March 15th to select agriculture risk coverage or price loss coverage from the 2018 Farm Bill. According to USDA, if producers do not submit an election revision by March 15th, they will remain under the same program as 2023 for eligible commodities on their farm. Those who do not complete enrollment this year and sign their contract by the deadline will not be enrolled in ARC or PLC and will not receive a payment for the safety net programs if one is triggered. Contact your local USDA service center to set up an appointment before the March 15th deadline. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Walmart is planning to build a milk processing facility in Texas. It will be located in Robinson, which is in the Waco area. The project is expected to create nearly 400 new jobs and $350 million in capital investment. Walmart Manufacturing Vice President Bruce Heckman says the company is excited to be able to provide Texas and surrounding states with high-quality milk sourced primarily from Texas dairy farmers.
A lot of cattle have been lost in the Panhandle wildfires. James Hunt looks at the overall effects the fires have had on beef production in the region.
It's been about 2 weeks since massive wildfires broke out in the Texas Panhandle, devastating the lives of so many people.
Whether you lost one cow, 1 acre of pasture, one structure, one home, the individual impact is tremendous, and our hearts and prayers go out to all those folks.
That That's Ben Weinheimer of TCFA, the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, which is among many agriculture organizations working together to help make sure assistance gets to the people whose lives have been affected. A lot of tragedy has occurred. But what about the beef industry specifically? Although a final total has not been released, Weinheimer says state officials are estimating about 7,000 cattle have died as a result of the wildfires. That's a devastating blow for a lot of area ranchers. But what about beef production overall?
In the bigger picture, short term and long term, the impact on the region, on overall cattle supply and beef supply to consumers will not be as dramatic as one might think. And to help put that in perspective, if you look at the example of the fed cattle plants in this region, the packing plants, each of the major packing plants here harvest about 5,000 head per day. And there are some differences that you would want to note between cow numbers and calf numbers versus finished harvest-ready cattle, but it does help kind of put it in perspective.
It is good to be reassured that the cattle and beef industry has not been crippled, but as Weinheimer pointed out earlier, help for the ranchers directly affected is still needed. Find out more on the TCFA website, tcfa.org. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A shortage of farm labor has been a problem for decades. Jessica Domel has more.
The state's largest farm organization is working to secure changes to the Agricultural Guest Worker Program to address the farm labor shortage. Agricultural labor is one of Texas Farm Bureau's priority issues for the 118th Congress second session. Here's Laramie Adams, TFB Associate Director of Government Affairs.
On the ag labor front, there's a lot of talk about it. It's time to quit talking about it and get it solved. Over 25 years, folks have been talking about reforming the current H-2A program that is flawed, expensive. There's enough red tape in it that it's extremely hard to use. However, at the same time, we do see an increasing number of folks that are using it because it's their only avenue to get the labor that they need on their operations. So the need to get ag labor in our program reformed is there. We're hearing about folks, if you look across the entire country, that rely on H-2A are having an extremely difficult time trying to get their crops harvested and out of the field. That's a problem when you're starting to see the reality that you could have crops dying in the field. You better wake up. I've talked about national food security time and time again, but this is another big issue where if we're going to invest in our future of our food security and domestic food supply and our ability to grow the best, then we need to have the proper ag labor reform in order to help these guys.
Late last week, the bipartisan Agricultural Labor Working Group, comprised of members of the House Committee on Agriculture, released its final report on flaws within the H-2A visa program. The H-2A visa is used by seasonal agricultural workers from other countries. We'll have more on the final report in an upcoming episode. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
A Texan has developed a way to use agricultural byproducts to produce plant-based plastic. Tom Nicoletti has the story.
My guest today is Dylan Baxter. He is Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Plant Switch, a bioplastics company, and he joins us from Sanford, North Carolina, where there's a warehouse located there to produce this product, and this is just starting up. Tell us more about what your company is proposing to do.
At Plant Switch, we are making plant-based compostable plastics, and we're doing that by using agricultural byproducts. So we are taking the leftovers from major agricultural processes and turning those into a plastic alternative material that feels like plastic and performs like plastic, but it's fully compostable, plant-based, and it's also at a price point that makes sense for major corporations. So we feel like we have a truly circular supply chain because of our use of these agricultural byproducts and residues. And we think that this is a real alternative and a solution to the plastic waste problem.
Where are you going to be getting these agricultural feedstocks? In Texas or other locations as well?
So our first facility is in North Carolina. And so we'll be working with producers somewhat close to the region and just to minimize shipping costs. But I'm from Texas, born and raised there, and I would love to have our next or future facilities there and work with folks and, you know, agricultural producers in the Texas region. So it's definitely on the future development radar. And so really excited about the next decade of building the future of plastics. And we want to be at the forefront of that push.
More with Dylan Baxter, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of PlantSwitch, on our next program. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
This is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley. Extreme South Texas is now in spring mode. Citrus is blooming, planters are rolling. Those stories and more in today's report.
And it's important to have a dry calving area for your cows. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
We're making Texas agriculture great again. This is Texas Ag Today.
Spring has arrived in extreme South Texas with citrus trees blooming and planters rolling. Jim Hearn has this update from the Rio Grande Valley.
Extreme South Texas is now in spring mode. Daytime temperatures are 6 to 8 degrees above normal, with highs near 90 degrees, and morning lows have generally been in the 60s. Citrus has started to bloom, and with all of the warm weather, it looks like a snowball bloom will be in order. Pickers are still harvesting last year's citrus production, particularly Valencia oranges and the remaining grapefruit. Now, because of the warm and dry weather, irrigation crews have been busy. They're basically on a three-week irrigation cycle. Now, row crops are finishing up with cotton planting. The grain and corn crops are looking good. Dry land crops are especially good right now. Onion crop is also looking good, and of course, we're nearing harvest time. Lake levels at Falcon continue to hold steady. Currently at Falcon, 17% elevation, and the irrigation demand is still pretty heavy, but more than enough water is in store. Amistad Reservoir currently at 26.2% full. That's a very slow but steady rise. Reservoir system is about 4 months away from our tropical season, so we should continue with plenty of water. For Texas Ag Today, this is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley.
Less than 6% of the members of Congress are farmers and ranchers. Gary Joyner says that number is likely to continue going down.
As rural states become more urban, the makeup of Congress changes as well. Few farmers and ranchers are elected to Washington, D.C. when states become more urban. In the current 118th Congress, there are only 31 farmers and ranchers out of the combined 535 members of the U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Senate. That's just under 6% of the total. There are 23 farmers and ranchers in the U.S. House. There are 8 farmers and ranchers in the 100-member U.S. Senate. The report by the Congressional Research Service says there is one House member who owns an almond orchard. Other House members are a forester, a fruit orchard worker, and a horse trainer. Important national farm policy decisions, such as the Farm Bill, require understanding and experience in Congress. There are fewer members of Congress who understand the importance of a farm safety net and the many issues that impact agriculture. It's up to those with firsthand knowledge of farming and ranching to fill the information gap, and that gap is only to get wider and wider as areas become more urban.
I'm Gary Joyner for Texas Ag Today.
It's important to have a dry calving area for your cows. Dr. Bob Judd says the wetter winter we've had makes that very important.
We're in the middle of calving season for spring calving beef cows, and although we were in a drought all summer and fall, many areas of Texas have had some much-needed rain. However, many cows may be calving in muddy areas at this time, and this is far from ideal. Dr. Lindsay Wechter-Mead indicates at Drovers.com that mud and moisture can prevent the hair coat from insulating and maintaining body temperature of the cow and calf, leading to hypothermia in the calf. A muddy environment also increases energy requirements for the cow and calf just to walk around, and this requires more feed. When mud and fecal material are on udders, calves have the potential to ingest disease-causing pathogens when they nurse, and the number of environmental infectious organisms increase as the cows increase in the calving area. I have mentioned the Sand Hills calving method on this program before, and this is a system in which calves are born in a clean area, and cows that have not calved in the first 2 weeks are moved to another clean area to calve. And this is continued every 2 weeks until all the cows have calved. This limits exposure of newborn calves to infectious organisms and also decreases the amount of mud in the calving area in most cases. Of course, this does require lots of fencing, but temporary electric fencing could be used and may be less expensive. Also, building a calf escape area for calves that cows cannot enter will likely decrease the amount of mud in the pens. In some cases, you can use a hot wire in the corner of the calving pen to allow calves to get into an area that is likely cleaner than the area where the cows stand all day long. All newborn calves should have their navels treated with chlorhexidine solution to prevent infection. I'm Dr. Bob Judd, and this is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org to donate.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Tuesday. We saw cattle futures move higher. We traded mostly higher throughout the day, and that's how we wrapped it up, with April live cattle up 65 cents, 188.25, June up 92, 183.95, with August live cattle up 75 cents, 182.80. Feeder cattle closing higher, with March up 72, 248.97, April up $1.02, 254.12, May feeder cattle up $1.32 at 256.70. Cash fed cattle trade all quiet. We don't expect to see any sales happen until later in the week. Boxed beef was higher. Choice up 363, 312.51. Select up 90 cents, 299.78. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
This is Riley Rhodes, Live Oak Livestock Three Rivers. Sells them on Monday. Riley, how did it go?
Market's still, going the right direction, fully steady, maybe a little bit better in spots today on some of the heavier cattle. Quality was really good today, so got along real well. 1,593 was the total head count. Not many pairs today, 1,200 up to 2,200 on them. Some red cows, again, not many stocker cows today, but 11 up to 1,900 weigh in most of those out. The packer cows, they put a little money on those again this week, 128 to 136 on your high-yielding cows, 110 to 126 on your breakers, 90 to $1.08 on your canners. Same story on the packer bulls, 136 to 142 on your high-yielding bulls, 118 to 136 on your low- to medium-yielding bulls. Your 2 to 3 weight choice steers, 362 to 410. Heifer mates, 348 to 374. 3 to 4 weight choice steers, 340 to 392. Heifer mates, 312 to 350. 4 to 5 weight choice steers, 310 to 364. Heifer mates, 260 to 328. 5 to 6 weight choice steers, 274 to 322. Heifer mates, 232 to 270. 6 to 7 weight choice steers, 240 to 286. Heifer mates, 228 to 254. 7 to 8 weight choice steers, 224 to 252. and the heifer mates 218 to 240. So got along real good. I called it fully steady to maybe 2 to 4 higher. Got along real good. Lots of buyer inquiries.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you for next Monday.
361-813-6650 is my cell. 361-786-2553 is office. Webpage, liveoaklivestock.com.
We appreciate it, Riley. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye.
And neighbor, goodbye to you, but thank you for listening to Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. That was Riley Rhodes. We appreciate you doing so. Good day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished sharply higher. April hogs up 207, 85.35. May was up $1.60, 92.20. Class 3 milk slightly lower. Nearby March contract down 3 cents, 16.44 a hundredweight, with April milk down 3, 15.89 a hundred. Cotton closed slightly higher. Not a whole lot of news to move the market. We did trade on both sides of unchanged, but on the close, May cotton was up 17 points, 95.23. With July up 25, 94.59, new crop December cotton up 40 points at 83.67 cents. Not much movement at all in the corn market. In fact, we closed mostly steady. Brazil's crop agency on Tuesday morning lowered its estimate of Brazil's corn production from 113.7 million metric tons down to 112.7 million metric tons. That is quite a bit less than USDA's current estimate of 124 million metric tons. May corn, steady, closing at 441 and three quarters, while September corn was unchanged at 460 and a half. Wheat closed narrowly mixed, both hard and soft wheat, finishing on both sides of unchanged. Not a whole lot of news right now to support the wheat market. Of course, we've lost a lot of export sales with Russia dominating the export market. Wheat prices remain well below the cost of production. We closed with May Kansas City wheat down 1.5, 597 and a quarter. New crop July off a quarter cent, 587 and a half. Soft wheat market in Chicago, May contract up a quarter cent, 547 and a half. New crop July down a quarter penny at 560 and three quarters. In the energy markets, April natural gas down 4 cents at $1.71. April West Texas crude oil down 12. $77.81 a barrel. In the financial markets, we were higher Tuesday afternoon. The Dow up 235 points, 39,005. The NASDAQ up 246 at 16,265. The S&P up 57 points at 5,175. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in its greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.